Good morning. Today we complete the coverage, the reading of The Mystical Eye. The final chapter, chapter 12, Do Not Pass By on the Other Side. It begins, the unveiling of God takes place within you when you realize that it is the I in the midst of you that is God, in whom you can relax without words and without thoughts. Relax and receive the Word. Rest and receive His Spirit. Rest in His grace with no concern for tomorrow and no regrets about yesterday. No living over of the yesterdays in your memory, for these have been erased. When God is unveiled in you, you begin to live in the nowness of life. It is as if you awakened each morning and realized that God has given you a new day. It is a day that will be filled with something. It is a day that you can choose to fill with His presence, with His Spirit, with His love, or it is a day that you can fill with human belief, material laws, and mental laws, if you ignore the presence of the Spirit of God in you. Scripture is fulfilled in this day, if so be you accept the unveiling, and let the Spirit of God teach you, let the Spirit of God feed and inspire you, let the Spirit of God walk with you through every minute of every day, and never attempt to walk through even a minute alone. The unveiling comes in that moment of your decision to awaken in the morning with God, to fall asleep at night with God, and to determine that every minute of every day you will walk with God and let God walk in you and through you. That is the goal. And the means of attaining this goal is the attentive ear, the listening ear. You are walking with God and living with and in God only as you learn to keep an open ear throughout your waking and sleeping hours. For a while, it may be necessary to open your ears the very last thing at night and say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth," and then sleep. When you fall asleep in this way, your body and mind are at rest, but you yourself are awake. You will then be receiving thoughts throughout the night, just as consciously as you do throughout the day. In that state of consciousness, you will be aware of the events taking place in the spiritual kingdom, sometimes of their relationship to you in your earthly affairs, because I never slumbers or sleeps. Consciousness never sleeps. It never lapses into unconsciousness. And consciousness is what I am. The mind and body are what I use, but consciousness is what I am. Before there was ever a concept of God, you can be assured there was I am. and I was there, and I am there, and I will be there. I, in the beginning, had all the glory of God, with God and in God, and therefore I had no need to create in my mind a God to worship. In the beginning, I already was endowed from on high with His grace, robed in His Spirit, clothed in His immortality, thus unfolded in His grace. There was no sin, no disease, no death, therefore no need to invent a God to get rid of these. God is needed in the mind of man only when he is experiencing some lack or limitation. A child does not need God, because the child is living in all his innocence of being, already being all that a child should be. Nothing need to be added to the child, and he knows it. Many children have told their parents that they commune inwardly with God. They were born with an understanding of the true nature of God. When God is unveiled for you, so that you behold God in the soul of all mankind, you can actually feel within you that the Christ is incarnate in you, in me, in your neighbor, friendly neighbor or enemy neighbor, Christian neighbor, Jewish neighbor, pagan neighbor, atheist neighbor. When God is revealed in your consciousness as omnipresence, as that spirit which is in you, and when you never again ask God for anything, plead with God, tell God what you want, but abide always in the consciousness of God's presence, then you have experienced God, and God is unveiled for you. When the message of the infinite way was given to me, it was only that through me, this message could be brought to the entire world. What a mission. Can you then believe that it is possible for you to receive a message which is to be a great blessing only to you and your family? It may appear so, but do not be fooled by appearances. If you have been prepared by the Spirit to receive a spiritual message or teaching, it is only that through you it may be spread out into your world. It may begin with the world of your family or your community, but it must go on and on until that message finds its way into human consciousness universally. Now, I have seen this happen in my own experience. I was contacted one day by a person that had heard my talk, and I looked them up on the map. And they were from some tiny, tiny island, very, very tiny, in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and in between the United States and Europe. Tiny, tiny island. And that's when I saw, this is going out universally. Those who have worked with the message of the infinite way for any length of time have received benefits of one nature or another, not always in accord with what they were first seeking, Yes, I see that happen a lot. Someone comes to the Infant Way looking for health, and suddenly their finances blossom and bloom, and they're in the midst of abundance. Still no health, but they have abundance. Sometimes a person comes to a spiritual teaching with the idea of quickly gaining their health, and then probably finds that health is the very last thing they attain. Others may come in the hope of finding happiness or prosperity, and they too may discover that these are the very last blessings that come to them. Strange how that works. I have told people before that I have told men before that I found that perfect wife when I stopped looking. I completely stopped looking. I went to God with, how may I best be of service? What have I to give? And then she came into my experience, and we were together until she passed away. All right. So I tell them this, and they don't believe it. Well, surely you must have gone online, or you must have done something. No, I did nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I am convinced that this presence, the Comforter, will always appear as a soulmate, someone to be with, someone to spend my time with. No one who has ever received benefits through the understanding and practice of this message can even begin to know the blessings of it until he has come into association with other students, and especially with students from many parts of the world. Friendly countries, so-called, and enemy countries, so-called. Those of you who have had that experience have discovered for yourselves the bond of oneness that exists among the students of this work. This is not by virtue of any human relationship. It is by virtue of the common spirit, the one spirit that you discover to be present in all of us. This that you find among students of the Infinite Way, those from near and those from far, this fellowship, this love that you experience, this joy of companionship in the Infinite Way, is not based on any human values. It is based on their conscious oneness. Because you and your Father are one, and all that the Father has is yours, you look within yourself for God's grace. Just as this unveiling of the truth of your true relationship with God and with all mankind has taken place in you, someday it will include all human consciousness. God does not select a personal you or a personal me for his blessings. God's grace is unveiled that it may be shared by all mankind. In the last few years, wherever Infinite Way teaching was taking place, students have come from all parts of the United States, Canada, England, Europe, Africa, Australia, New Zealand, South America, all drawn by what? By the Spirit of God that had been unveiled in consciousness. Yes, I experienced that in the lectures I went to with Herb Fitch. Many people from many different parts of the world. And wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. As they went back home, back to their countries and their cities, these students carried the grace they had attained in our united consciousness. And they imparted this grace to the students of the Infinite Way in their cities and their lands, drawing them into this universal brotherhood, fulfilling the circle of Christhood that is revealed in The Art of Meditation, his book. There is this circle of Christhood on the inner plane. There are those with whom we tabernacle who have access to the divine consciousness of the illumined of all ages. There is a circle of Christhood in which we live and walk and through which we receive revelation and inspiration. It was this that enabled me to write that circle would be revealed on earth, and it was given to me to travel this world and form the invisible circle among Infinite Way students. But it has spread far beyond that group, because the unveiling reveals that this Spirit of God is the Spirit of God unto all men. So the circle of Christhood is to embrace all men, whether or not they ever become students of the Infinite Way. Nevertheless, they will be drawn into that circle. As a link in this circle of Christhood, you will be living in two worlds, or between two worlds. You will be in this world, but not of it. You will be of the spiritual kingdom. And even though you are in the circle of Christhood, you will be living in the world of business, art, literature, government, or religion, in order that this light may shine, that you may commune and continue to lift up the Son of God and all men. You lift it up by beholding the Christ in individual consciousness and as individual consciousness. It is not that you do anything. You do not have to go out on any goodwill missions or save the world missions. But wherever you are, and whomever you meet, there will be the flicker of an eyelash, a second of recognition, and you will have lifted up the Son of God and man. You will have perceived and discerned the Christ incarnate in all the saints and all the sinners you meet, in all the friends and all the enemies you meet. Thus you will not only be more solidly embodied in the circle of Christhood, but you will be drawing into that circle those who have been outside. The branch of a tree that has been cut off and is withering and dying. Once again, let me remind you, the function of the Infinite Way is not merely the healing of disease or the overcoming of sin or of lack. It is rising out of the three-dimensional consciousness the consciousness of good and evil into the fourth dimensional consciousness, the lumen consciousness, which is aware of the things of God. In this fourth dimensional consciousness, you are in the area of consciousness where you not only know the things of God, but you receive the things of God, and you live under the law of God. This is grace. The Master, who of all persons was best known for his realized state of Christ consciousness, used as his principle, "Resist not evil, put up thy sword," which is a recognition that there is no power out in the world, and nothing to fight. He understood the non-power of the world of effect, and you too must lay the axe at the root. And the root of all evil is the universal belief in two powers, what Paul called the carnal mind, the mind of good and evil. Once you understand the principle that all evil is impersonal, and that it does not have its rise in any individual, you will begin to have the secret of healing work and the secret of world work, because you will not attach the sin, the disease, the struggle for power, the wrong thinking, or any other thing to an individual. That which is anti-Christ, or so-called evil, is the carnal mind, the universal belief in two powers, which constitutes a universal hypnotism. And when you have thus impersonalized and recognized the nothingness of this universal belief, you have lifted your consciousness closer to Christ consciousness, and then you will discover why you do not have to resist. God is not in the whirlwind. Power is not in the evil condition. Power, God, is in the still small voice. Do you want God? Do you want God power? Do you want God's grace? Be still. And when the still small voice speaks, you have grace. The presence of God is revealed, and it does the work, whatever the nature of the work is. The importance of this principle is far, far greater than you can imagine. The realization of God is not so that you or anyone else should find health, abundance, or happiness. Be assured, God has no interest in that at all. It is only insofar as the light coming to you or to me is permitted to be shown forth to the world that we serve any purpose on earth. We were not sent here just to become happy human beings. We were sent here on earth to glorify God, that God's laws should be made manifest through us, and that through us the world might witness the laws of God in operation, the laws that make men free. There is a mental inertia that operates universally in this human world, preventing even those of us who have been taught how to prepare themselves spiritually for the day from doing so. This mental inertia makes them forget to realize God's presence. It makes them forget to realize the mesmerism or malpractice is not spiritually ordained, and therefore is not operative in the individual consciousness that has realized the presence. For the person, however, who does engage in daily spiritual preparation, the realization of the presence of God and the non-power of mesmerism or malpractice nullifies the effects of this universal hypnotism. And in some degree, these effects are also nullified for the entire world. A group of diligent students could not only free themselves from discords, but they would gradually free their communities, families, neighbors, friends, nations, and eventually free the world. Because each of us is so individual, we each play a different part in letting the light of the message shine through us. There are those who may invite members of their family or friends into a group to hear tape recordings. And in that way, the light goes out into human consciousness. Some are further developed, and they become practitioners and teachers. Still others may aid in the functioning of the different activities of this work, and thereby help to send it out around the world. Eventually, there are those who, perhaps with greater discernment at the moment, perhaps with greater preparedness, begin to understand the principles of the infinite way in such a way that they individually can be instruments in a greater measure to bring divine consciousness to human experience. Each of us plays a part, and no one chooses which part he will play. But whatever is given to anyone as his particular forte, that is the manner in which he must function in this message. When the Spirit of God makes itself evident in us, and we come to know that we have a responsibility toward the entire world, we begin to wonder, how can I fulfill this obligation to the world? Let us not believe for a moment that by tithing our income, or giving away 10 or 20 or 50%, or even more, we are doing very much for the world. Even if we have such spiritual healing power as the Master, even if we had that and could heal multitudes, we would not be doing very much. We never can reach all the 3 billion, now what, 6 billion people in the world, either with our money or with our healing gift. There's only one way in which it can be accomplished, and that is through accepting the responsibility of spiritual realization. Did you know that was a responsibility? Spiritual realization? Everyone at our level of consciousness should be engaging in world work. Work for the world. Whether we do it in a united group or do it individually, at home, alone, is not the important thing. The important thing is that it is done. Certainly, this is a period when the world is going through a transition of such proportions that it may be the final transition, that in which the material sense is completely overcome and Christ consciousness comes upon the world as a universal gift. To me, to Joel, it appears that this is what is happening. For example, there is a great deal of religious upheaval, but with it, we can also note the greater sense of unity that is taking place among the religions of the world. How many religious barriers are being removed? Limitations are being broken down in the Catholic Church as never before. And of course, this is being equally matched by a breaking down of the sense of separation in Protestantism. This is the age of the breaking up of prejudice of race relations. There is a breaking up, too, not only of the type of capitalism that does not adequately care for its workers, but also of the type of unionism that had no consideration for management and employers. It is breaking up on all sides of the old encrusted patterns of the idea that self-preservation is the first law of human nature. I like this next sentence. The human mind and its activities may be likened to a swamp. It is dark and damp and miserable, and abounds in all kinds of inferior creatures. You will recognize these creatures. They are those of whom Paul speaks. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. This is the human mind. So you can change that sentence to, the human mind receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The activities and the creatures of the human mind. But it is made new when Christ has entered in. Yes, a new Jerusalem. Just as the swamp would be made new and fresh if the blocking trees were cut down, so the sun were allowed to shine through. So when the mist clears from us, and the Christ enters into our soul, our world becomes new. A new heaven, a new earth. Yes, and a new creature. We have now become a part of the circle of Christhood, each sharing with the other that which has unfolded within him from the kingdom of God. Since we are a world of individuals, I am receiving the grace of God which I share with you. But those of you who are artists, writers, ministers, business people, lawyers, are receiving the grace of God in different forms, and you share these with one another. When we understand this, it completes the circle of Christhood. Let us not confine our sharing to those who are already in that circle. Let us draw into the circle people of the entire world by our recognition and acknowledgement of the Christ in them. Lifting up the Son of God in them draws them into the circle of light. He's giving you instructions for world work. It may take a week, a month, a year, or even 10 years before they consciously enter that circle and acknowledge that they are in and of it. But that is no concern of ours. Once we have lifted up the Son of God in them, they have entered our circle of Christhood, and then it is just a matter of time. They will open their eyes and say, whereas I was blind, now I see. Whereas I was dead, now I am awake, alive. We are that swamp until we consciously let the light shine within us and learn to walk with God, talk with God, sleep with God, and awaken with Him, consciously realizing Thou art my day, thou art my night. Thou art the wisdom that guides and governs me. Thou art the soul that purifies my every thought and deed. Thou art the spirit that purifies every motive and makes of me a givingness. When we turn within to the Spirit of God, it is only to receive grace that we may share a light and a wisdom. It devolves upon those who have received spiritual light to be transparencies through which that light reaches the world. As it comes to our individual attention that there is some form of so-called evil taking place or about to take place, evil related to health, weather, or human relationships, let us remember it is a call to us as illumined souls to leave our nets consciously, immediately, and retire into a meditation to bring the activity of the Christ to the situation until that particular problem has been met. So be still. There must always be an individual you or me to bring about the realization that in the presence of the realized Christ, temporal power is not power. Only the realized Christ in individual consciousness makes non-power of what has been temporal power. You need no words. You need no thoughts. You need the silence of receptivity, the listening ear, and then whatever truth has to be voiced, God will voice. But there must be a listening consciousness. Be still. Be still. Do not think thoughts. Be still and know that I am God. I in the midst of you, I am God. Be still. In quietness and in confidence, be still. Stop taking thought. You cannot change anything in the world by taking thought. You probably will only make it worse. Do not take thought. Be still. Listen for that voice. And when he utters his voice, the earth melts. This keeps us from becoming egotists and believing that we humanly have power. We are but the instruments or transparencies through which and as which the power can act, and act in proportion to our stillness and our quietness. Never ever forget that the Master says, "The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." This will keep you humble. Even if a storm or a war should stop after your meditation, you will know that you did not stop it. You are only the transparency through which the activity of God reached human consciousness. The Master healed the blind, but he never said, "I healed the blind." He said it was that the glory of God might be made manifest. Do not forget that the glory of God may be made manifest. And how can we be instruments through which the glory of God is made manifest? Be still and know. His Spirit is upon me, and I am ordained to heal the sick, but not without His Spirit being upon me. I am ordained to heal the sick, not by virtue of any words that I know or thoughts that I think. but by virtue of his Spirit being upon me. And then the right words and the right thoughts will come through. At this stage of unfolding consciousness, you are responsible for every picture that presents itself to your sight or hearing. You may not pass by on the other side of the road. It is given to men living purely in the human world to ignore the troubles of their fellow men, especially if they are from a different land, a different religion, different race. It is not given unto you. The grace which you have received from God was given you, not for you. It was given as the fruitage of God, which the world is to eat. Take, eat, this is my body. You owe a debt of God, a debt to God and to the world. And the debt is that you do not pass by on the other side of the road. Take note of every discord, every inharmony, and bring to bear the activity of the Christ. Be a transparency through which the Christ dissolves the appearance. You do not have to think anything. You must be still. You must be still for an instant, and let His Spirit flow through you and dissolve the appearance. You may not pass by on the other side. Cease your fishing for a moment and be fishers of men. How? By recognition. It takes only a moment, the blink of an eye, to realize that in the presence of the Christ, temporal power is not power. It has only the arm of flesh. You cannot serve God whom you have not seen and do not know, except as you serve man whom you do know. Your only way of serving God is serving man. This is giving the first fruits unto God. The only way you have of neglecting your service to God is to neglect your service to man. It is good and right that out of your material resources you share something with those who have less or who have nothing. That is a minor but necessary part of your spiritual development, because we all must acknowledge that we have very little in the way of material resources to give in comparison to the needs of the world. You who walk in the light have more to give individually than an entire nation has to give, for the nations can give only material resources, which are limited and finite. But you have living waters. You have spiritual meat, spiritual wine, spiritual bread. You have the Word of life. You have the Spirit of God incarnate in you. Above all, you have a moment of silence, so that in that silence the voice of God may thunder. This is the most precious gift in all the world. You have emptiness. You bring to God every day an emptiness, an empty consciousness. Fill me today with all thou art. Fill me with thy soul, with thy spirit, with thy grace, that my presence on earth may glorify thee, that my presence on earth may show forth thy glory, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was, the original glory of divine sonship. You might ask yourself, every once in a while, why was I born? to what purpose have I come to earth? If you listen, you will hear the voice say, I am come that ye might have life, that this world might have life. Ye is not you, ye is all human consciousness. I am come that human consciousness may be fulfilled with the Spirit of God. Filled full of the Spirit of God, I am come that the kingdom of God may come on earth as it is in heaven. You are not only on earth. You are of the earth until the moment comes in which you realize the Spirit of God dwells in me. You are the man of earth until the realization has come to you that as man or woman, you are nothing, less than nothing. It is only as the Spirit of God touches your consciousness that you are awakened, enlivened. You are the walking dead. Until the Spirit of God touches you, that through you this Spirit may be allowed to flow to all mankind. Have you seen that show, The Walking Dead? That's what we are without the Spirit. The manner of it is to realize that in the face of every appearance, whenever a human being appears to you, whenever a human being appears to you, you are to lift up the Son of God in him and realize God incarnate in him. Whenever an appearance of sin, disease, death, lack, limitation, or disaster presents itself to you, you are instantly to remember that in the presence of God realized, in the presence of the realized Christ, temporal power is not power. In heaven or on earth, there is no power greater than I am. So we all look at Venezuela and the earthquake, and we realize behind that, in the invisible, is the living presence of God, right there. Omnipresent. And our realization of it, when we get the feel of it, it functions. Oh yes, it does. When the Spirit of the Lord God is upon you, you are ordained. But you are not ordained to be set apart. You are ordained to heal the sick, comfort, feed, and forgive. That is the purpose of ordination, not that you may be glorified, but that you may be better equipped to give more abundantly, share more freely, understand more universally. It is not only the children of your flesh who are your children. All the children of this world are your children, and you have an equal responsibility to share with them. You must be able to look out upon this world and say, the Spirit of God in me is your Father. You may look to the Father within me for substance and sustenance. You, friend, or so-called foe, may look to the Spirit of God in me, the Fatherhood of God in me, for your care. Then you will understand this relationship that has been kept a secret from the world, the invisible bond that exists among all mystics, the visible and invisible mystics of the world, who have recognized I standing at the door of their consciousness, and are eternally united in consciousness, sharing with one another. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Revelation 3:8. So, we are not allowed to pass by on the other side. We have to pour out. We have to share. We have to let this light shine through us to all those who are still suffering. And this we do. Now, I have a lot of people who say to me that they are lacking and they need help. And I say to them, you must begin to pour. Well, they say, I have nothing to give. I have nothing to pour. You are mistaken. This is missing the mark. This is sinning. You do have something to pour. Not you personally. That Father within you, He does the pouring. And so it's much, much greater whether you donate $10,000 to a charitable organization. That doesn't matter. That's not real giving. Real giving is when you are quiet, when you are still, when you are listening, you are attentive, you are receiving the impartations from God and letting them flow through you to all the world. You see that? It's not important if you give money, old clothes, or donate something else. Much, 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 much more is grace pouring out when you are able to give your silence. Give your silence to the world. I have nothing to give of a material resource, but I have silence. Here, I give you my silence. Stop. I see behind this world the invisible Spirit of God, and I am silent before it, and I watch as it flows. I am come that they, all of they, might have life, and life more abundantly. Life, this presence, this being, this spirit, I am come, I am here to glorify God, to allow this spirit to flow through. Here I am. Send me. And behold, I make all things new, because the world is new when Christ has entered in. And Christ enters in through your door of silence. Through your door as you sit in front of it within silence. Then I can flow. And I do flow. And you see it working, helping, healing, providing, caring, comforting. Thank you, Father, for this talk today. Thank you, consciousness, for drawing it out. We have found the kingdom of heaven in our midst, and it is I. Blessings. Too many to count.